Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Here we are. Welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 58. I'm Mike. That's Doug.
Dude.
Dude, what's up?
How are you doing, dude?
I'm doing good. You know, we got
What'd you have for lunch today?
Dude, we got to jump right in because there's Sharks news.
There is?
There is. You ready?
That's about right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Pretty much it.
That's good. Scott Nicholas looking for a house, though. We did learn that.
That's...
And Setoguchi's going to the moon or whatever. What's going on with that? I mean, I don't even want to talk about that.
Yeah, I don't remember what's up with that. But it's fascinating.
Joe Pavelski was at the Sharks store. He's going to be, you know, dude, it's pretty slow.
Yeah.
It's pretty slow. Darn slow.
I was a little worried that we weren't going to have anything to talk about, but our listeners came through again.
Dude, questions at dudesonhockey.com. They sure did.
That's right. We got three emails. We're going to jump right in. We got other things planned later in the show. We're going to have a new crazy trade segment later in the show.
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
And we'll reveal the results of last week's.
We certainly will. But first of all, let's jump in to Adam's email, who talks about putting Marlowe back at center. And he mentioned a lot of reasons why maybe the Sharks should put Marlowe back on the second line at center. Mentioned that it's great to have strength down the middle. You want a good 1-2 punch. Lots of times you have two good centers and they don't play together. Marlowe's best season points-wise was when he was on the second line, when Joe first came to the Sharks. And all this kind of stuff. And he doesn't think that Joe and Patty's game actually meshes that well. Adam makes a lot of good points about this. You know, do you have an opinion about this? Do you think Marlowe should be put on the second wing? Want to be strong down the middle? You know, that's a cliche in hockey circles, right? You want to be strong down the middle. Is that what you want? Do we want to put Marlowe back on the second line, maybe with Mahalik and Klo, or I don't know what?
Gosh, dude, you know, I kind of go back and forth on this where in as we talk about it right now, it sure sounds like that might be a good idea and the way to go. But when you look at the roster the way it is, I don't think that that's what they're planning on doing at all. Although Mitchell is unsigned still. Mm. But, you know, I think McClellan has a man crush on Mitchell, and so does Doug Wilson. So do both of us. So I don't think Torrey Mitchell has fallen out of their plans unless his health is considerably worse than what we thought.
Yeah.
But... you know, the idea of having Marlowe being the second line center, you'd have to significantly upgrade, you know, who's going to be the top four wings, I guess. You got Mahalik, you got Chichu, you got Klo. McGinn?
Yeah. Well, Seto?
Seto. Oh, yeah. Geez, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Actually, as we're talking about it, it doesn't sound bad, does it?
Maybe not.
And then you'd have to ask Torrey Mitchell, I guess, to move to the wing. Maybe move Scott Nickel to the wing.
I guess so.
So, dude, I initially was going to say no, but now as we're talking through it, maybe it isn't such a bad idea.
Maybe not. The one thing that comes to mind, especially when you talk about the points argument, is that just because Marlowe scored more points when he wasn't playing with Joe doesn't de facto mean that that's a better situation, right? Because the second line is going to get points. Marlowe's on the second line, he's going to get a lot of those points. So, and maybe he won't be involved with all the stuff that Joe's involved in. They're sort of sharing some stuff on the first line. Maybe that sounds like an argument to put him on the second line, or put him back on the second line. I don't know. But I guess I'm saying that you want to do whatever it is that helps the team win the most. And one thing I do like about Marlowe being on the top line is that he can jump in when Joe gets kicked out of the faceoff circle. And Joe gets kicked out of the faceoff circle a lot. And the upside is that he has a great face-off percentage because he can look for that extra edge knowing that Marlowe's there to back him up. Now, if you got Tichu taking the face-off, then Joe's got to be a lot more careful in the face-off circle and the Sharks may not be as good in that area. That's just one thing I can sort of think of off the top of my head.
Sure. I think, you know, as we sort of are waiting on this whole Danny Heatley situation, if for some way the Sharks are they get Heatley and you put... you know, Heatley on the top line, you move Marlowe down to the second line, you know, with the other parts that are around. I mean, instead of having a top line of Marlowe, Heatley, and Joe, and you're like stacked up and you're ready to go, you know, maybe creating some more a balanced attack in the top two lines, maybe that's something they're going to consider. I think we'll find out, you know, pretty soon, looking at the line combos that David Pollock kind of threw out there the other day on his, I mean, wasn't it Joe, Mahalik, Cheech?
Yeah.
Marlowe, Klo, and who am I forgetting? Marlowe, Klo.
Was Pavs on the wing? Or was Pavs on the third
line? Pavs was on the third line with, no.
Klo was on the
third line. No, it was Pavs. It was Pavs, Marlowe, and Klo.
Right.
And then the third line was this like uber energy line of Mitchell, Seto, and McGinn, which actually sounds like kind of fun.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, you know, and he was basing that on information that he said he got from someone who, you know, it sounded like.
Saw something written on a whiteboard at
maybe.
Some point.
It seemed odd, but
in a bar writing down something on a cocktail napkin. Yeah,
there's no way that that's the collection of players coming in. I still believe that, but I don't know, dude. Good point by Adam. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not real committed one way or the other. Okay, so now we go to Jeremy. Jeremy managed to poke me in just the right spot on this email, so this is going to be
you
fun.
You love this topic.
Yeah. He says, dude, since it's the middle of summer and hockey news is slow, I thought I'd get your taste on next February, the Olympics. Will it serve as motivation or as demoralization when Jumbo Joe is not on Canada's Olympic team? If I'm Steve Yzerman, my centers are Crosby, Getzlaff, LeCavalier, and Richards. Dude, what do you think? So let's answer the first question first. Which is it if Joe isn't on the team?
It's so hard to know with him because I think we're going to know real early next season if failure is a motivating tool for him at all. I mean, mm-hmm. he's saying all the right things right now. If he comes out like a world beater in October, then we'll know that, you know, he really, if he plays real physical, if he's shooting a lot more, like he says, you know, he's going to consider doing. You know, if we see him really up his game to where I think people are waiting that maybe he'll go from a star to a superstar, we'll see if that kind of has an effect on him. But his kind of easygoing personality, you're not sure if he's just kind of content to be where he is. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing you worry about with Joe. He's such an easygoing guy. He doesn't seem to live and die with every play, which can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing at the same time. I'm not sure it'll really be either. Well, actually, I'd go more with demoralization if it's not Jumbo Joe. Not made on his part, but on the part of the fans. You know, I talked last week about how maybe some players are overrated and some players are underrated. I think the fans sometimes overrate Joe Thornton. But that being said, I would still put Joe over LeCavalier on the Olympic team. I mean, this is something I've written about before. I think I was looking for it today. I couldn't find it, but let's answer this question. How many seasons out of the last five has LeCavalier outscored Joe Thornton?
Zero.
Zero is the correct answer. Okay. LeCavalier scores more goals. And if that's what the Canadian Olympic team wants, a goal scoring center after Crosby and Getzlaff, then I guess LeCavalier is your man. But Joe Thornton, in my mind, is a better center. He's not less physical. I think they're about even in penalty minutes. You can say LeCavalier's won the big trophy, but he was fourth in scoring the year they won the cup in the playoffs. It's not like he put the team on his back and carried it. I mean, Joe Thornton's led the Sharks in playoff points the last 3 years straight. It's not that he's sucking and letting somebody else come up. It's just that I don't know what it is about LeCavalier. You think it's just the fact that they won the cup and he gets the credit because he's the biggest guy on that team?
I guess so. That could be it. You know, I think Joe offers such a. He can change the way the game is played in a shift. He can play that behind the net style that can really throw you off, especially mm-hmm. when you've got, you know, very different centers there. Mm-hmm. You put Joe in there and he can grind it along the boards and really slow the game down a little bit.
And more ice means that he could find more passing lanes.
So I'd be surprised. I don't think he's going to get left off. A lot of it might have to do with how the Sharks come out, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they come out slow, which their schedule is pretty brutal, as we talked about.
Yeah.
you know, maybe if he is underachieving and the Sharks kind of look like a disappointment initially, I mean, is it possible that the Sharks have zero players on the Canadian Olympic team, dude?
Oh, sure. Because I don't think Marlowe's going to make it. Yeah, I think Marlowe's going to knock it.
Boyle? Long shot.
Yeah, I'd say it's a long shot.
So we'll be represented because if Erhoff's still on the team, he'll be on Team Germany. If they make it.
What about Nabby?
Okay. You'd think that Nabby is going to be there again, right?
I would think.
Mahalik?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking,
Even Marcel Douglas Gotch. Murray? Yeah, even Marcel Gotch. Not Douglas Murray, I don't think.
No. No, he's not good enough to play for Sweden.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, Marcel Gotch, former Shark.
Maybe Pavs on the U.S. team?
Possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so could be slim pickings for the Sharks, Olympic-wise.
Yeah, we'll see.
Joe might be our only hope. You are our only hope, Joe.
Thanks, Jeremy, and thanks for bringing that up again.
Great. Now you make Mike all salty. I know. The rest of the podcast is all salty.
Oh, man. Okay, let's go to the next one from Scott. Good, because I was already feeling salty. And Scott from San Jose says, I was just reading Ryan Gardner's column on Hockey Buzz, and I found myself laughing out loud at some of his proposed moves. But then I found myself wondering if the Sharks aren't actually at a dire crossroads in their existence and his ideas aren't all that far-fetched. What do you think? Is it a time for optimism or a time for radical changes?
I'm going with optimism still.
Okay.
I don't think you blow up a President's Cup winning trophy. Sorry, President's yeah. Trophy winning team.
Right.
Even though they stumbled majorly and mm-hmm. we were severely disappointed. You know, a lot of the key pieces are still here for success. And I don't think you can just blow it up. But let's kind of run down these 10 items of Garner's blog. It just pains me to even talk about him because I...
Not usually really, a fan of his work?
No, just don't respect a lot of what he writes. So his first suggestion is trading Joe Thornton to Ottawa for Danny Heatley. Dude, straight up.
That seems foolish. I mean, you got a guy that is already an admitted malcontent, can't get along with GMs, can't get along with coaches.
Sign long term
till 2014 for more money than Joe, and you want to bring this guy around. Admittedly, he's a great goal scorer, one of the best top three goal scorers in the NHL the past 5 years, but you know, Sharks have cap trouble, so you want to dump a huge contract for a bigger contract and a player you can't even really count on to be your go-to guy. Is that really a good idea? Doesn't sound like it to me.
No.
Sort of his thing, his rule was, Joe, you know, saying as if it were fact, Joe Thornton will not get it done with the Sharks, period. That's the premise, right? And it's better to have some crazy man like Heatley, although that's overselling it, than a guy you know will not take it. And to me, we don't know Joe's not going to be able to take the Sharks to the next level about as much as we know that Heatley will work out on the Sharks. I mean, it just seems a crapshoot either way. I'd rather go for a shorter contract and less money, all things being equal. That's just me.
It's a stupid idea, dude. All right, let's move on. Patrick Marleau to Montreal for Yaroslav Halak or Halak or mm-hmm. I don't know. And Thomas Plekanec or Plekanec.
Yeah.
Don't even know, dude. What do you think?
I'm not super opposed to this trade, to be honest. Halak is a guy that is the backup goaltender in Montreal right now. He's got really good numbers as a backup. You know, maybe he should be playing instead of Carey Price, but they love Carey Price so much. You know, it's not a bad thing. The Sharks have a ton of goaltenders in the system already, so that's a little weird. Plekanec, I don't know about him. He seems like a sort of a second slash third line center. Do we really need one of those? The thing is, those guys have contracts. They're able to be signed, and Marlowe's only got 1 year left. To me, it's just like, meh, you know, I don't know. Do I think it's going to make the Sharks better? No, not really.
Isn't that the whole point of these suggested moves to improve the team? So let me just get this straight. He wants to trade the Sharks' two best forwards, two all-stars, for Heatley, a guy who I'm trying to look it up right now, dude. I think Plekanec had 39 points last year. I just want to be super sure. I'm going to move on while my browser is loading. And Halak, who at one point was the third goalie last year in Montreal. Okay. Now that guy Halak is. I think he has the potential to be very good.
Yeah.
But I'd be concerned about this in a lot of ways. Like, so if they're bringing in Halak, what does that say about Doug Wilson's confidence in Grice, in Stalock, and the goalies that he's drafted to take over the reins? Doesn't say a lot, right?
No, not really.
So, and then Plekanec, dude, I wish I could really comment on him, but it's kind of sad, like two hockey nerds like us.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about him.
Yeah, me either.
He's a mystery man to me. And
I can't say, you know, I don't watch a lot of Montreal games every year, and I can't say he's really stood out in any way in the games that I have watched. So,
you know, Garner, I think, said that he has, you know, he gave him some sort of huge benchmark of potential.
Right.
I think he had 60 points 1 year. It's loading. It's loading, dude.
Still
it's coming.
Loading.
But I got to say, this is a thumbs down to
let's,
me.
Let's move
both,
on.
Both guys are, you know, sorry, 39 points last year, dude. 39. Sounds really good. Huh? Minus nine. I got to say, this seems like one of those hockey buzz rumor trades that makes me vomit a little bit in my mouth. Think about it. Dude, the next one's Chichu to the Islanders for a second rounder.
Yeah, sign me up for that.
But this is fantasy land, dude.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
If Brian Burke couldn't get a first-round pick for Nick Antropov, then Doug Wilson's not going to be able to get a second-round pick for Jonathan Chichu.
No way.
No chance.
And I think the Islanders and the Sharks are a decent match as far as trade because they can take salary. So why not try and get, I don't know, they have some useful third-line young players that I think might be a better fit. Anyways, instead of a second-rounder, we need help now, not later. So that's a thumbs down idea. Put Kent Huskins on the trading block.
Sure. Huskins, I don't know that much about, right? So Doug Wilson must have seen something in this guy.
They like him. They wouldn't have done what they did. And, you know, I think he lists some players that were signed for less, you know, that have about as much marquee name value as Kent Huskins does.
Which is compelling. I must say, I was swayed a little bit.
But a lot of them had... You know, you can't compare Kent Huskins to Keith Yandle because Keith Yandle is restricted. He had, you know, a lot of, you know, we've rehashed this many times. So, you know, who's to say that Huskins, if we didn't sign him, he could still be sitting out there in Dennis Seidenberg land. You know, he's unsigned.
Right.
But they must have known something that someone was going to, maybe he was going to go right back to Anaheim, dude.
That's still the deal that makes me shake my head. I still don't understand it, and I hope it's going to become more clear later in the summer, because right now it's not very clear.
Sure, but I don't, if you're going to put someone on the block of the D-men, I don't think it's him. Number five, trading Vlasic to Chicago for Patrick Sharp.
We've talked about Patrick Sharp before. There's been some stuff on the blog about it. I'm not too opposed to that either, but then you have a lot of forwards, right? So I don't know where he fits in the lineup if that's what you're doing. It would certainly get rid of one problem, which is we have 7D signed.
But now we've traded Huskins and Vlasic.
Oh, you're talking about all these in
well, I mean, isn't he suggesting doing all of these?
Yeah.
So
we dump Huskins and Vlasic, and then we have Patrick Sharp. So our 6D is now Mike Moore?
Jocelyn Moore. But now you've got Erhoff playing 18, 20 minutes again. You've got Brad Lukowich playing 18, 20 minutes.
Yeah. No thanks.
Thumbs down. Sign Dominic Moore, the juggernaut. That is Dominic Moore.
I can't, you know, he has signed Dominic Moore and signed JR. I don't see how these are really going to make a material difference on the team either way. It's fine. Okay.
Meh. Okay. And, you know, I think you wrote a great article on the blog that pretty much solidified for me that JR is done. He's hanging him up.
Yeah. Last thing was to re-sign Pavs and Seto.
Those make perfect sense.
Yeah.
Give Dan Boyle the captaincy.
Fine with that.
Yep. So I would give him, you know, he gets a 30% on this from me, which is higher than Eklund's accuracy rate. So good job, Ryan Garner.
I guess it works.
Congratulations. Some of these suggestions are outrageous.
Hyperbole?
They're crazy trades, dude, which we're not there yet.
But we're not at crazy trades, but we are going to do something with the West, in that we're going to, since we're past the whole rigmarole of free agent season and the draft and stuff like that. So we're going to talk about every team in the West in sort of shotgun quick fashion, and we're going to rate how each of these teams did. So
now we've got three ratings,
right?
We've
got three ratings. So we got the worst rating.
Dude.
Which is, you can't be happy with what they've done.
No.
Okay. You got the second rating.
Dude.
It's like treading water. Or
could happen.
Neutral.
Maybe.
Neutral, dude.
And then you have.
Yeah. Which means thumbs up, dude.
Absolutely good.
Great moves.
All right.
You're kicking it off with the Ducks.
I'm kicking it off with the Ducks. Ducks got Koivu. They re-signed Wisniewski. They got Nick Boynton. Of course, they made the Pronger trade that we talked about. Boschman signed elsewhere.
Yeah.
Damn the Ducks, dude.
Yeah, some good moves and a lot of cap space so they can continue to make moves.
Yeah, and it's...
I think they're going to miss Pronger a lot and it'll take away from their personality, but they're still good. Dude, I'm doing Dallas.
Okay.
New coach, Mark Crawford, same players. I'm not sure. You know, it seemed like Dave Tippett really had the ear of that team, but I think Joe Nieuwendyk is still working on some stuff, but I got to say...
Dude?
Not sure. Jury's out on Dallas.
Jury's out on Dallas. Okay, so I got the Kings. Kings got Ryan Smith and Rob Scuderi. They re-signed Jack Johnson to a very affordable contract.
Yeah!
So that's two teams in the Pacific that definitely... Well, the Ducks made good moves. I don't know if they got way better in the short term. The Kings definitely did. Yeah, the Kings are going to be tougher.
Sure. Okay. Speaking of improving, not. We've got the Phoenix Coyotes who traded
Hamilton,
for Radim Verbata. Vernon Fiddler. Great signing. And they got two unwanted Daryl Sutter castoffs and Jim Vandeveer and Adrian Aucoin.
Dude.
Not good. They don't even know where they're playing.
Yeah.
Not good. Phoenix gets big thumbs down.
Yeah, not good. All right, so now we're on to the Central. I get to start with Chicago. They signed Hossa, right? The biggest signing, but he's got a bum shoulder. Oops. Maybe I should have ordered a physical before I signed him for 12 years. Oh, well. And they lose Havlat. Okay, so... Chicago, I'm going...
Dude!
If Hossa works out, it's good, right? I'm not sure about the deal for Hossa. Of course, they got young guys that are going to get better. Keith and Taves, we're tired of talking about those guys. Chicago's going to be a better team this year than they were last year, but did they make the best deals possible? They didn't. That keeps them from getting the highest rating.
I still think they got a heap of problems in net. Columbus, dude. Columbus, they signed Rick Nash. Mm. Long term, their future. They add Sammy Paulson. They still need a power play quarterback, dude, but they're improving on a team that already has made great strides. Yeah! Columbus gets the highest rating for me, dude.
Wow, that's pretty good. Okay, Detroit, they're in arbitration with Yuri Hudler. They re-signed Ville Leino.
Read today that Mike Greer is considering being a Detroit Red Wing.
Yeah, that could work. Isn't he from there?
No. Nah.
I got that wrong. Anyway, but...
dude!
I mean, you know, what can you say? It's sort of... They're treading water. They're not... They didn't go down. They're not doing anything... They didn't do anything stupid, which is more than you can say for a lot of teams. So, they're middle of the pack.
Speaking of stupid, the Nashville Predators are next, dude. Nashville, they gave Steve Sullivan a two-year contract for $3.75 million each year.
Dude.
What?
Stupid.
He was out for 2 years.
He's stupid.
Isn't he over 35?
Dude, I don't know what they're doing, but they are thumbs down, dude. Predators, not good.
All right. I'm going to go... We got St. Louis. So they lost Jay McKee. They bought him out, right?
Yep.
And they re-signed Tkachuk. Pretty much that was it.
Status quo.
Well, they're a young team.
Oh, dude.
Ty Conklin.
I stand corrected. Ty Conklin. But St. Louis, they're not looking to make a lot of moves. They just want to make sure they got room to maneuver at the deadline if they need to, make another run at the playoffs. They're sticking to the plan. You got to respect them for that, but they didn't make big waves.
Big waves, Calgary,
yeah.
Adding Jay Bouwmeester. Great blue line, great goalie, lousy scoring.
Dude!
Middle of the pack for me.
Really? Even though Bouwmeester got a, got a really,
you know,
affordable deal.
I think that they are... Who's good? They've got two guys who can score now. I think they let Camilleri go. They lose Bertuzzi. I think they're going to have problems putting the puck in the net.
Hmm. Okay. All right. So I get Colorado.
Dude.
Okay, you get Edmonton.
Edmonton swung for the fences and missed, dude.
Dude.
They got Haveboulin.
They did, but they you go out and you leak, or whoever leaks the players' names. Now you've got three guys sitting there going, yeah, we don't want to be wanted. We're not wanted here. Mm-hmm. They have to move all three of those guys before the season starts. They get, you know, it's basically, I think they put themselves in a bad situation. I give them thumbs down, dude.
All right. So Minnesota, they got Martin Havlat. It's good. But most importantly, they got a new coach.
Yeah. I give it thumbs up. Thank God we don't have to watch that garbage anymore.
Minnesota's going to be a much better team. Todd Richards, of course, you know, Sharks assistant coach, but they're going to be better. They're going to be better. So there's no question about that. I don't think they're going to fade. They're going to make, I think they're going to make the playoffs this year.
Ooh, now I have to go opposite of you, dude. I think that they're really going to have problems this year, but it's going to be a growing year.
Okay.
Them, growing year.
Maybe I spoke too soon on that, now that I think about it.
Vancouver Canucks. They lost Olin. They lost Sundin. They lost Taylor Pyatt. But the good news is, in their division, only Calgary possibly got better, and everybody else got worse. So for Vancouver,
dude,
middle of the pack.
Right. Well, they re-signed the Sedins.
They did, but they lost three guys who were pretty significant contributors to their success last year and replaced them with nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. They could be a team that's still not done.
Yeah.
You know, but I think they're going to miss Matthias Olin more than maybe they are expecting.
Right, right. All right, that was a pretty good segment, dude.
Question. Dude, nice.
Maybe we'll try to do the East next week.
Yeah, let's
That'll
try
be fun.
It. Hopefully we'll have some big news to talk about.
Yeah.
Dude, let's get to it. It's time. I'm ready.
It's time. You ready? Here we go.
I'm going off the rails on a crazy trade.
All right, the results are in from last week. By only one vote, the slimmest of margins, people rated my Kyle Okposo trade to be slightly crazier than your trade, dude.
Dude, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
It's good because it means we're both crazy.
So as the winner, you get to go first, dude.
Okay. Okay. Here's Sharks get Ryan Malone. No. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I knew you'd like that. Ryan Malone. I was waiting to see your jaw drop when I said that. Exactly. No. Actually, I am going to go with a crazy trade for the Ottawa Senators, but not Danny Heatley.
Okay.
We've talked about him before. We talked about on a previous show, a few shows back, I wanted a tough guy / a-hole.
Okay.
Chris Neal signed for too much money. Who does that leave?
Yarko Ruotu.
I want Yarko Ruotu.
Okay. All right.
So I will offer, you know, he makes $1.2 million or something like that. Mm-hmm. Very affordable contract. Okay. I'll give value for that. You want Cheech? You want Vlasic? I'll take it. Yeah. We got seven defensemen. He gets rid of a defenseman, cuts salary, and we get the tough guy.
So you're saying Vlasic for Yarko Ruotu?
Yeah. Hmm. Maybe we can get a pick out of it too, you know, mid-round pick as well. But that's a deal I would certainly entertain. It solves a problem, and it solves two problems, right? I mean, Scott Nichols not going to be, I mean, he's a good player. He's a pain, but Yarko Ruotu takes that whole pain thing to another level.
He does. He's an all-star pain.
He's going to like bite people. Yeah. And, you know, it's awesome. You know, it's going to be good.
Okay, dude. I am a fan of bringing in a player like Yarko Ruotu. I'm not sure I'd give up Vlasic in that deal, but
maybe we could get Sean Donovan, dude.
Maybe
Sean Donovan, dude.
Sean Donovan, dude. Okay. It's my turn, dude.
Okay.
The Sharks give my famous package of Mahalik and Aeroff,
right, okay,
which I'm shopping to everybody in the league,
okay,
to the Buffalo Sabres.
Mm.
And in return, we get Jason Pominville.
Okay.
And a third round pick.
Hmm. Okay.
Pominville. You know, if you're looking at Pominville versus Aerhoff, you know, Aerhoff, you know, I think the most points he's ever had is in the mid-60s. Pominville had, you know, he's had 80 points already.
Hmm.
His lowest point season was 66. He's more effective in the playoffs than Mahalik. Same kind of style.
Yeah.
I think you're switching it up, getting the same type of player. He's signed long-term. Jason Pominville.
Interesting. Okay. Those are both pretty crazy trades, dude.
Yeah, major trades, dude.
So I will put, that's the new poll, which trade is crazier. We're going to keep track of who's crazier. I'm only slightly crazier than you.
Just slightly. I'm hoping to edge you out this week.
You think so?
I don't know.
You might win.
I don't know. I think your trade is pretty crazy.
They're never going to trade Ruto. But they're never going to trade Bombadil either, so we're both crazy.
But you're saying Vlasic for Ruto in a mid-round pick?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
We'll see. We'll let the listeners decide.
Okay. I think that does it for this week's Dudes on Hockey. Thanks for all of your emails. It keeps the show afloat. Feel free to email us more or make sure to read our blog at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. And of course, even though it's the summer, we'll be back again next week. Same time, same place.
Next week, analysis of Christian Ehrhoff's trip to the Santa Clara County Fair.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.